Hello, welcome. After a good Mother's Day break, we find ourselves in the last book of the Old Testament, the book of Malachi. So if you could please turn in your Bible to Malachi, and we're in chapter 2 tonight. You remember that this, whilst it's the last book in the Old Testament, it's certainly not the last in the entirety of the Bible. But there is a 400-year gap between the book of Malachi and then the first of the gospel records that we have in Matthew. And we've been looking at this idea that it is God's last words to his people as a means of preparing them for Messiah, Jesus Christ, who would come. It's a final message from God to his people. And I've asked you to picture this analogy of God and his Father's heart coming to speak to his family, to his people. And it's like a family gathering. And so there are very tender words, but there are also very stern words. And that's very much the tone of tonight when we look at chapter 2. Tonight, God speaking to his people, to all his people, yes, but there is a specific group that he is especially addressing tonight, and it is the priesthood in the Old Testament. They had the responsibility of taking care of God's people, of the family of God, of leading them in the worship of God, of setting the tone and tenor for the approach spiritually and the health in the land. And there was a problem. Now, a helpful analogy at the beginning of this is, how many of you understand that nutrition is important physically to the body? I think we have had this message pressed upon us again and again in modern society, haven't we? Very much we understand that, well, you are what you eat, that what you put into your body is very important to the function, to the health of the body. That if you exist on a diet of Skittles and Coke, that whilst initially that might sound appealing, it's going to make you sick. That you will not be well physically in your body. And what is going on here is that in the book of Malachi, the people who are responsible for the health spiritually of the nation. Yes, we are a physical body, but we are a spiritual body. Our soul needs nourishment, and our soul needs feeding, and our spiritual diet is important. The people who had the responsibility in the time that Michael is writing of feeding, of nourishing spiritually and setting the health of the people of God at this point in time were actually making the people sick. It was unhealthy. And so there's a need for correction that God delivers here. The people were being fed a disgusting spiritual diet, unhealthy teaching. Worship practices that were being allowed, society was deteriorating, and the tone and the context of the text before us is, imagine the people being sick because they're being fed junk food, and it's wrong and it needs correcting, and hence why God comes and he speaks to the people. We're going to have a look at 9 verses out of chapter 2 before us this evening. We're going to read all of those 9 initially together and then unpack each of those verses through as we progress through tonight's sermon. Malachi chapter 2, verse 1, and says, "And now, O priests, this commandment is for you. If you will not hear, and if you will not take it to heart to give glory to my name, says the Lord of hosts, I will send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. Yes, I have cursed them already, because you do not take it to heart. Behold, I will rebuke your descendants and spread refuse on your faces, the refuse of your solemn feasts, and one will take you away with it. Then you shall know that I have sent this commandment to you, that my covenant with Levi may continue, says the Lord of hosts. My covenant was with him, one of life and peace, and I gave them to him that he might fear me. So he feared me and was reverent before my name. The law of truth was in his mouth, and injustice was not found on his lips. He walked with me in peace and equity and turned many away from iniquity. For the lips of a priest should keep knowledge, and people should seek the law from his mouth. For he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. But you have departed from the way. You have caused many to stumble at the law. You have corrupted the covenant of Levi, says the Lord of hosts. Therefore I also have made you contemptible and base before all the people, because you have not kept my ways but have shown partiality in the law." Let's have a look at the first 2 verses and let's put them up on the screen for us. It says there, "And now, O priests," the specific audience of our message tonight is the lineage, the people attributed with the role and given the responsibility of the priesthood. And it was a lineage, a line known as the Levitical priesthood. It was a family, and they were to do ministry, effectively passing it on from father on to son. And as a responsibility, this tribe of Levi, they were the ones who were to be, and they were called by God, responsible for the spiritual worship, adherence of the law of God, and abiding by that and leading the people in the things of the Lord, guiding and directing their sacrifices and keeping the spiritual tone and tenor of the people of God in check health-wise. And the command, God says, is for you. And so there's a very direct word that is coming, and now the responsibility certainly sits and rests with the leadership. And that's applicable today. In all forms of leadership, there is a responsibility that sits and rests with us. And this command is for you, all leaders tonight, and we can see that application flowing on. And God says to them, if you will not listen. And this is really what we're going to focus in on tonight. Because as we're looking through the book of Malachi, we're giving this title thematically of healthy relationships. First, our relationship with God. And that, as God the Father in chapter 1 and 2 comes down to his people, is a heavy concern, a burden upon his heart that he desires for their relationship with him to be healthy. And then taking care of that vertical, it would flow out horizontally in the home, flow out in the society, flow out in the workplace. And that is what is before us. Healthy relationships require a connection with the Lord. How many of you know that healthy relationships require listening? Just in general. If you have children, you know that there is often a disconnect. How many times have you found yourself saying to your child, are you listening to me? And there is a disconnect that happens in the relationship. We know this in so many ways in the workplace. You can become frustrated with your boss or with your employees because they're not listening. Instructions are given, or advice, feedback is given back, and people just aren't listening. In the marriage relationship, are you listening to me or are you watching that football? Well, you picked a kind of awkward time to have this conversation, but listening issues pop up in the marriage relationship, don't they? In the parenting context, how many times do you find yourself talking to a child saying, I need you to listen to me right now? We get distracted. They, the people of God, and the priest in particular, are not listening to God. And so he says to them, if you will not listen, if you will not take it to heart, then you are dishonoring me. Healthy relationships require listening. They are not listening. Honor, we looked at last week, it's a theme that runs through this book, that they were accusing God of certain things, and God, in response to that, saying, where is the honor that I am due as the Lord of hosts? We'll touch a little bit more on that in a moment. He says to them, if you'll not take it to heart to give honor to my name, says the Lord of hosts, then look at this. I will send the curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. Indeed, I have already cursed them because you do not lay it to heart. Blessing. The Bible says this in Psalm 127, that children are a blessing from the Lord. The scriptures before us say, behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb, a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. And what was happening is that their blessings, the children, literally, but also thinking of the priesthood as fathers over the children, the people of Israel, the blessings, the children were in fact being cursed through erroneous teaching, through false practices and habits in the worship of God, the neglecting of the spiritual health of the people, and the blessings were being cursed as a consequence. Do you see that? And so what God is saying, back to verses 1 and 2, if we could put that slide back up again, is that what is supposed to be a blessing in your children and the people of God has in fact become a curse in the land. In fact, I've already cursed them because of the false teaching that is proliferating through. And of the lack of adherence, the lack of honor, the lack of listening to my commands, to my words, to my instructions. And how true that is today in our society where parents many times abdicate the responsibility that God has given the gift of children to, and they're not nourishing them. They're not setting the spiritual tenor and tone in the home. They're not feeding them the things of God, and they're wondering why their children are like a curse to them as a consequence. It's the same thing that was happening back then that happens so much and all too often in the church in particular today. Their blessings have become cursed by them not feeding, by them not being responsible in raising them correctly in the things of the Lord. They were feeding them spiritual garbage, just like a physical diet. I'm so thankful that early on in our, you know, literal raising of our children, that my wife assumed the responsibility of feeding our children as opposed to me. You know, it would be like, you know, I feel like a meat pie. Do you think I could put one in for him? He's only 2 days old, honey. I want a Coke to go with it too. Yeah, do you think he'd like a Coke? No, those sorts of things aren't going to be good for the health physically of a child. And how much more so than spiritually for those that were in responsibility for feeding and nourishing the people of God, they were feeding them a poor spiritual diet. Consequently, the children, the blessing in the faith had become a curse. We don't want to curse our blessing today, do we? We want to bless our blessing. And so we want to very much abide by what God is teaching us in His Word tonight. And here's where I want to take this: listening. You know, to be a good teacher of God's Word requires that you're a student of God's Word, that you're listening and hearing from God. Listening to God is honoring God. Pick up this idea in the text. And then as we see, it's more than just listening, it's what? God's accusation is if you're not listen, if you're not, the next part, take it to heart. To then have what we're hearing become a part, that means that we're in agreement to God's words. And then flowing out in obedience. So the cycle of honor here is hearing with our ears, absorbing it, then entering into our hearts, and then in our hands, in our lives, in our feet, acting out in obedience, the instruction, the admonishment that we're receiving from God. So my question to us tonight is this: how many of you know that God has spoken to you? How many of you know that this has been a word of God to you in your life? And so the question then is, are you listening? Are you listening? Have you listened to what God has revealed to you? Are you listening to what God has spoken to you? Have you then taken it to heart in your life? Have you then moved it out into obedience in your life? There's a clue here in this text that I want us to focus in on that helps us in this application of listening to God. And we see that God refers to Himself, and He did it last time we met together in chapter 1, but He uses this phrase of Himself again, Lord of hosts. Do you see that in verse 2? To give glory to my name, says the Lord of hosts. And we unpacked what that meant. There's a few applications by way of reference to what that phrase that God employs of Himself, that title, Lord of Hosts, means. One application is that God is Lord, has dominion over all of the spiritual beings. Now, we know that the Bible teaches that before Adam and Eve, that humanity was created, that the angelic hosts were in existence. Spiritual beings that God had created, who were messengers of His, who served Him, who worshipped Him. But what we see also in the Scriptures is that some rebelled against God. That there was those, and there exist those, that did not listen to God, that rejected God's Word, that did not take to heart. Instead, they hardened their hearts in resistance towards God under the dominion of Lucifer, Satan, the enemy, and they disobeyed God. They're known as what? Fallen angels or demons. We understand them. And so, to the Lord of hosts, there are two responses. There is listening, which equals honor, which is the angelic response. Those angels that are still following God as the Lord of hosts, that are listening in obedience, that are honoring Him, is one response. But a second response is God's word is delivered, God's word is taught, God's word is dispensed, and there is the resistance to be dismissive, to dishonor, to reject God's word, and that response is demonic. Which one tonight is our response to God's word? As God speaks, as God's word is revealed, am I listening? Is my response in the angelic to the Lord of hosts? Or is my response in the demonic to the Lord of hosts? And so I want to talk briefly tonight about how God the Father speaks to us so that we can assess in our lives, am I listening? Am I hearing? Am I receiving when God is speaking, when God is communicating, when God is revealing His Father's heart to me, to you, to us? He loves us. That's what this book is all about. And in His love, He desires to communicate to us. He wants to speak to us. He desires to guide us, to direct us for our benefit, for the fulfillment of His purposes. And we need to listen and to take to heart. So how does God speak to us? The first and the most obvious we understand is through the Scripture. What we're doing tonight, opening up and reading God's Word, it's happening here in Malachi. What we know is that the Bible declares all Scripture is what? God-breathed, inspired by God, and is profitable. The Word of God is the highest court of authority for the Christian. This is where we go. Everything is judged and tested against this. This is what God has revealed through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit and penned and is now available to us as a revelation of God's heart, of His character, of His will, of His commands for us, His people. And so God speaks to us through His word, through Scripture. We see also that God speaks to us through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God, one of the Trinity members. The Scriptures tell us Jesus spoke of the Helper who was to come. He is a helper to us. We have a personal relationship with the Holy Spirit who has set up residence within us. Know you not, the Bible tells us that your body is the temple, the residence of the Holy Spirit. And it is the Holy Spirit that will burden us. It is the Holy Spirit that will give us opportunities. It is the Holy Spirit that will guide us and direct us. Now we are to test the revelation of the Holy Spirit with what? The Word of God. We're told to test the spirits because there are false spirits who will try to manipulate and to deceive. And so we take what we think has been revealed by the Holy Spirit and measure it, assess it, judge it against the revealed Word of God in Scripture. A third way that God speaks to us is through wise counsel. The Holy Spirit lives in people. People who know and study the Scriptures. God will speak through them. All three of these things are happening here in Malachi right now. God's word is being revealed to the people through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and the messenger, the wise counsel, is Malachi, coming and speaking to the people of God. God will also speak to us in and through prayer. Prayer is communication with God. It is talking and listening. And you know, that actually includes our worship in song. You know, worship is corporate prayer. It's a part of that process of prayer, a form of congregational prayer. God will also speak to us through circumstances. Now, many times we encounter this in our lives where perhaps by way of an example, you might come along and say, you know, would you pray for me? In applying for this job, I think that this is what God's will is for me. Will you pray? Next minute, a week later, that company is sold off and shipped overseas. Well, there you go. Circumstances have dictated there is a closed door. That is not God's will. Now, I have another example where a dating relationship, for example, might be along these lines. You know, a guy finally plucks up the courage to go and ask a girl and say, you know, I like God, I like you. And she replies and says, I like God, but I don't like you. circumstances have indicated that, well, God has spoken. That is not the will of God, that relationship, correct? But God also speaks to us sixthly, and we see this all through scriptures supernaturally. Now, there is the angelic and the dreams. And Mary, we remember when we were looking at Christmas time, was pregnant through the Holy Spirit's intervention. All of that, the supernatural though, and all of the other aspects, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, what? Attested in number one. Come back to the scripture. Does this fit in line with, in sync with what God has revealed in his word as a test of whether or not God is speaking through this way? So now as we understand, as we're outlined and we're aware of, this is how God speaks, the question still remains, are we listening? Are we hearing? Are we taking to heart? And are we living out what it is that God is speaking to us? We often struggle with this. Just in general, we are a society today that has a very difficult time listening, don't we? We like to speak often more than we like to listen. Are we listening? Here's some things that prevent us often from listening. We, number one, become very distracted. We're not focused. We are a distracted society and a distracted people. We have very short attention spans, or maybe we use that as an excuse, I think, many times, where we do not have that discipline of sitting and going, I will now listen to God and his word. I will sit up. I will pay attention. I will have notes. I'll have my hand ready to go, God, here I am. I'm listening to you and your word. But instead, we're often, number two, ignoring God as he is speaking to us. I don't want to hear that right now. I've had countless conversations with people in the years of ministry that I've been involved in where, you know, circumstances have come around, and often people in times of repentance have returned and they've said, you know, here's what happened. And it was like, well, why didn't you come and speak to us sooner? And, well, we didn't want to because we knew what you would say. And there has been that deliberate ignorance and rejecting of God's word. I do not want to listen right now. But then thirdly, we don't listen often because we're interrogating. And that's what's happening here in Malachi. God shows up to the people and he's expressing his heart to them saying, I love you. And their response is what? You say you love us? When do you love us? They're interrogating God. And there is this role reversal that is happening where God is actually in authority over them, but they're saying, no, God, we're in authority over you, and we've got some accusations, we've got some questions, we've got some demands of you that you need to answer right now. And they're interrogating, they're coming against God. You say you've loved us. How have you loved us? How have you provided for us? And actually, what they're trying to do is put God under their authority. How many times do our kids try that one with us? Speaking of kids, here's one that they do quite well. Number four, switching, changing the subject. The old, have you cleaned your room yet? You know, we should really pray for our government right now, Dad, because, you know, there's a new prime minister in power, and I just feel like, you know, God says that we should pray for our government. And they're shifting the focus, aren't they? Changing the subject. So God here comes to the people of Israel and says, let's talk about your heart. And they're saying, no, let's talk about our income and why we're struggling. And they're changing the subject. God is speaking, but they're not listening because they're switching the subject. The next one we often do when we're not listening is we interrupt, change the flow of the conversation. And generally speaking, we encounter this all of the time. We tried talking and teaching, and someone's just deliberately trying to shift the focus, change the flow by interruption. And then there is the flat-out disagreement. When we don't listen, we're challenging the point. You're wrong, and we want to argue. And that's what the people are doing against God here. And they're also, number seven, not listening because they're seeking to rationalize, excusing themselves, finding themselves to be the exemption to the rule. But we never do that, do we? We read through the scriptures and we come across bits like, you know, respecting our husband. Well, that doesn't apply to me because my husband's an idiot, so I don't have to respect him, and he's just made foolish decisions and so on. We come across the scripture and it says, love your wife as Christ the church, and we're thinking, I'm the exemption to the rule because, well, have you seen my wife? And people do that, and people talk in that way, and they're thinking that they're the exemption to the rule in a lot of things that God has revealed in His Word. And there is the editing, the selective hearing that we see often. We're cherry-picking God's Word, that we're listening but only to the bits that we want to hear. It becomes very much like, you know, I'm going to find first and second opinions, and I'll look at chapter 1 and chapter 3, and that's what I'm going to listen to. And I'll grab a hold of that text, and that's what I'm going to abide by. And we're missing the context in that often. Then there is the flat out, in fact, what the majority of these are, is disobedience unto God. Hearing, but not taking to heart. And here's what I'm thinking, because it's true in my life, and I don't think I'm the only one. We all need to work on this, don't we? In listening and hearing God and His Word. What has God been speaking to you through His Word as we've come to gather on a Sunday morning and a Sunday evening, as you've been reading personally in your devotions? Ask yourself, what is it, God, that you've been speaking to me about? And then ask yourself this question, am I actually listening to that? Am I hearing it? Am I taking it to heart and honoring the Lord in that? And am I living it out in obedience in my life? You are tonight God's son and daughter. He is your loving Father. He is speaking to you. He is directing you, leading you, revealing Himself to you. Are you listening? Are you taking to heart His Word? Are you obeying? Because He wants you to be healthy and not sick. Spiritually in your life, He wants you to be strong and flourishing and maturing and growing. Now the next verse, as we get into it in verse 3, isn't a verse that you would typically find on a coffee cup sold in a Christian store. It's not the type of post that you would see on Instagram. It's not the type of verse that you would have put emblazoned on a t-shirt. But it's a verse in God's Word that is inspired by God and profitable and beneficial for us. The ESV has it this way: behold, I will rebuke your offspring and spread, that word, dung on your faces, the dung of your offerings, and you shall be taken away with it. And many of you came tonight probably not anticipating that that would be some subject matter for us. But as I've mentioned, it is God's Word. It is revealed to us, and we need to understand this. What does this mean? What does this reveal about God and His heart for His people? What does this reveal in the context of what is going on? So let's unpack it. Here's what's happening. The priests were responsible for the worship of God in the land. And the priests were the ones who had the responsibility of instructing the people of Israel in the sacrifices that were to be offered unto God. And we've learned already that what was being sacrificed, any lame animal, any animal that was blind, any animal that they effectively, it was doomed, we'll bring that as a sacrifice. We'll bring that. That'll do. That was the attitude of worship in existence. The lame, the blind, the sick animals were being offered unto God. Now, mandated in the adherence that the Levitical priests had to abide by in the sacrifice was that there were certain portions of the animal that was to not be sacrificed, was to be removed, was to be taken out and to be burnt outside of the city. We're talking about the intestines. We're talking about the excretory systems of the animals. You would know it if you've ever gone fishing, that you do a process of scaling the fish and of cleaning out the guts and of removing those things that if you were to eat, what would happen? Would make you sick. And this is the very thing that was going on here, is that they were not bothered. Oh, it's too much effort to go through and to butcher that animal appropriately for the sacrifice. So let's just offer the whole thing. intestines, excretory system, all of the organs, all of the things that were the refuse, the dung, that was offered as well as worship unto God. Consequently, they were, the language that we see in this verse is ultimately shoving in God's face the offerings that were gross and sick and dishonoring of worship of God Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And God effectively here in this verse 3 says to them, you keep shoving that in my face, how about I return the favor and see how you like it? That's the language that is behind this verse here. God is upset with the priests and with what is taking place there in the land, the dishonoring in worship unto him. And it stemmed from the lack of responsibility and application that the priests were doing in teaching the people of God. They were delivering messages, sermons, instruction to the people of God that was garbage, that was refuse, that was dung. And the people of God were sick, spiritually speaking, as a consequence. An analogy might be to help us understand God's heart here and why he uses such graphic terminology and language here in this verse is imagine you as a parent leaving someone responsible to babysit your young child. And as you return, you come home and you see that they've changed the nappy, but now they are feeding this to your child. Now that is disgusting, that is graphic, and we would be what? Absolutely livid as a parent. And God, you remember, is what? A father of his people. And the people who are given responsibility to nourish and to feed them are serving them up refuse, dung, garbage, and the people of Israel are sick as a consequence. That is why God says what he says here in verse 3. Does that make sense now? And sometimes people will come to a text like this and say, well, God is so mean. You know, the God of the Old Testament, it would just look like he was angry all of the time and he was upset. We would be angry as parents if that was happening to our children, wouldn't we? God is upset because the people given the responsibility of teaching, of instructing, of nourishing the people of Israel are harming them. Instead of nourishing them, they are causing them to become sick. And on the outside, the priests, they all look good and they have the appearance of doing the right things and following on, but the content that they were delivering was garbage, was corrupt, was defiled. The people feeding God's people are hurting God's people. And God consequently turns up the volume and says what he says here in this verse. It needs to be dealt with. What they are teaching the people is bad. The effects that these people are having on the people of Israel is bad, and it needs to be dealt with. And so God comes and he deals with it. Now, unfortunately, I think that in today's modern church, that experience of people being fed erroneous teaching is all too frequent today. And we have countless people of God who are sick, spiritually speaking, because the people who they're listening to, the people who are feeding them garbage instead of God's word, are serving up refuse, are serving up dung to them. And the people of God are wandering around going, why am I going through this? Why am I going through that? Because they're listening to people who are false teachers. And God would have the word that he delivers to Malachi, I think, expressed today in many ways. The equivalent of the priest back in Malachi's day, offering inappropriate sacrifices, causing the people to be cursed instead of blessed. God is angry, not because he is mean, but because he is compassionate and loving and regards his people. And so the question before us tonight is this: what teaching are you exposing yourself to? What are you allowing to be consumed upon yourself? What podcasts are you listening to? What teachers are you listening to? What books are you reading? What are you gravitating towards? Is it healthy nourishment for you, spiritually speaking? Is it leading to spiritual growth and health in your life? Or is it akin to receiving a serving are a smearing of refuse, of dung, of garbage, and of it leading to an unhealthy soul, and ultimately unhealthy relationships with God and with people around you. Verse 4, 5, and 6, we read, and it says, "Then you shall know that I have sent this commandment to you, that my covenant with Levi may stand, says the Lord of hosts." My covenant with him, going back to the originator of the priesthood in Levi, the brother of Moses, it was a covenant of fear, and he feared me. He stood in awe of my name. True instruction was in his mouth, and no wrong was found on his lips. He walked with me in peace and uprightness. He turned many from iniquity. What God is giving to his people, that in contrast to the priesthood that was in existence in Malachi's day, God now goes back to Levi and reminds them, and he provides a basic definition of leadership here. That a true, a right, a good leader is one who has walked away from iniquity, has turned towards God, and the people who are following him are in turn following after God. And what God highlights too here in these verses is the family nature of the ministry and of the responsibility there that was going on. Now the application for you and I tonight in these verses is this. We, each of us, have people that are following us. You might not think of yourself as a leader. You might not think of yourself as a teacher. But you are, in some aspect, you have a sphere of influence. As a parent, certainly in the context of your home, your children are looking to you, and it's a question of whether or not you're intentionally teaching them or not. But one way or the other, you are teaching them. In your relationships with others, you are having people watching and they're observing. And what are you demonstrating? What are you teaching to them? You and I, we need to shun iniquity, turn away as Levi was, and turn towards the Lord. And as a consequence, the people that are following us will be directed to the Lord as well. The problem here in Malachi is that it's a matter of the blind leading the blind. That the people who should be leading God's people are not following after God. They've turned their back on God's ways. They've embraced iniquity. And consequently, the people of God are suffering because they're following the leaders. In the context here in our fellowship, here's what we can do. We can pray for our leadership here, can't we? We can pray that we have a heart for the Lord that shuns iniquity and that pursues the things of the Lord. And what you can also pray for is your individual leadership in the home, in the relationships that you have, in your workplace even, in the ministry that God has given to you, that you would do the same. As God points out here, here's what the leaders should be like. Let me remind you of Levi. He was one who followed after me. He shunned iniquity, and the people following him as a consequence followed me because Levi was following me. We can pray that that becomes a focus of ours, and that with the Holy Spirit's help within us and the instruction and guidance through God's Word, that we embrace the leadership that God has given to us and that we teach people to follow the things of the Lord. Why? Because it leads to spiritual health and well-being, and great blessing flows out of it. Verse 7 to 9, we finish with these verses tonight. It says, "For the lips of a priest should guard knowledge." And people should seek instruction from his mouth, for he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. But you have turned aside from the way. So God says, people should be coming to you, priests, but instead you've turned your back on me and my ways, and as a consequence, you've caused many to stumble by your instruction. Oh, how much is that happening today? People who should be rightly teaching God's word and instead deliver from the pulpit that they doubt whether or not Jesus rose again from the dead. That they doubt the validity of the scriptures, and it causes many to stumble by their instruction. And you have corrupted, God says, the covenant, the agreement of Levi. Again, says the Lord of hosts. And so I make you despised and abased before all the people, inasmuch as you do not keep my ways, but show partiality in your instruction. Do you see how unhealthy the land had become? How unhealthy the people were spiritually? How sick they had become? Because the priests, those responsible for feeding and nourishing them, were not doing that which they should be doing. What we see in these verses is, in fact, healing for a sick soul. The leaders ought to be, and leaders should be, feeders of the people that are following them. The people we see mentioned there are to be teachable. They're to be receptive to that. Ever tried to feed a child who doesn't want to be fed? We've all had that experience, and they just toss the plate out of the high chair or they close their mouth. You and I, we are, as teachers of God's word, message deliverers. We see that in the verses before us, but note this, we are not message writers. There's a big difference in that. We're the postman, we're the mailman, we're the mail lady. Imagine that you've taken time to write a letter, let's say leading up to a special occasion, something like Christmas, or even an email. You're very careful over the content of that, and you find out that the mailman has opened up that letter and taken upon themselves to edit it, to blank out certain phrases, to insert a commentary on certain sentences. Well, here's what I think that they mean by that phrase, and then it's been delivered, and the recipient gets that edited version of the message that you'd painstakingly crafted to be delivered to them. You would be absolutely livid, wouldn't you? As an invasion of your privacy, as a distortion of your message. Many times today, teachers, feeders of God's people are doing exactly that, aren't they? Blanking out bits, well, we don't like that part, so we'll eliminate that, we'll remove that, and we'll add this little bit here, and people have become editors of God's word, when all that we are is what? The mailman. We're deliverers of the message of God's word. Here, God has sent the message. God has, to use another analogy, set the menu for the people of God. And the priests, instead of delivering this, had altered it, had changed it, had departed from it. And it was causing many to stumble. The land had become sick. The people of God had become sick. And God is addressing this here in this text. Oh man, what a word for today. In modern Christianity, is it not? We are again messengers of God's word, not editors. We are to feed the word of God, not our opinion. We're to not depart from God's word. Paul wrote that he wanted sound doctrine to be taught. Good Bible teaching leads to healthy people. And you might be sitting here and all through this thinking, you know what? I'm not a Bible teacher. I don't teach Sunday school. I'm never going to get up behind a pulpit. So these verses don't really apply to me. I hear what you're saying, the importance of God's word and it being abided by and it being taught. But you are, in fact, a messenger of God and his word to people around you. Every person that you come in contact with, you are, the Bible tells us, an ambassador of Jesus Christ. And you are, in that role as an ambassador, preaching. You are teaching. You are representing Jesus Christ to them. And so the question, again, we ask ourselves is this. Have you turned aside from the way? Have you caused many to stumble by the instruction of your life? Of the message that you are delivering, adding to, altering, departing from, whatever. Now the Bible tells us in 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9 that you are what? God's chosen people, a royal priesthood. And so this text, whilst speaking in verse 1, and now, O priests, is by application to you and I tonight. As the royal priesthood of God. This commandment, verse 1, is for you tonight. Not just the priest back in Malachi's day, But it is a command to all of God's people tonight. Are you bringing healing? Are you bringing health? Or are you bringing sickness? Are you nourishing? Or are you causing people to become malnourished? We're to summarize this text for us tonight by way of conclusion. Malachi chapter 2, verses 1 to 9. The first would be this. Start with your ears open and your mouth closed. Are you listening to God? Or are you distracted, busy interrogating God, interrupting God, changing the subject, selectively listening, or flat out disobeying God and His Word? Secondly, get into God's Word to get God's Word into you. Listen is what God said, and what? Take it to heart. Have it become a part of you. You know, hearing is akin to God stocking up the pantry or the fridge. Taking to heart is you actually consuming and eating it. If I were to use an example, someone in our family who will remain anonymous had a consultation with a nutritionist outlining certain things that were supposed to be eaten and consumed as a part of their diet. It cost money to go and see this. Now, that instruction, that advice, and the food can be made available in the home, but they need to not only listen, but they need to what? Take to heart, actually eat and consume, abide by that instruction that they'd receive to bring benefit and health to their body. But just because they've listened, just because they've heard, just because they know the thing to do does not equate to health, physically speaking. They've actually got to consume. It's the same with you and I. God's Word, we know it many times. I know God's Word says, but are we taking it to heart? Are we listening in obedience in our lives? Thirdly, every day seek to walk in God's will. God says to the people in Malachi's day, honor my name, says the Lord of hosts. We're to operate in every day with the desire to see God's purposes, God's name, God's plans accomplished, not our own. And finally, consider your life. Consider the lives of those following you. Just like God had instructed and reminded them of Levi, who turned from iniquity and pursued God, if you're feeding yourself rightly from God's Word, hearing, listening, obeying, living it out, then the lives of those following you will also benefit in many ways. You might be thinking, you know, I've tried. I've tried with my son, I've tried with my daughter, I've tried with my wife. They just won't listen. To go back to that analogy of the child who refused to eat in the high chair, did just because they stopped or rejected one time, did you stop trying to feed them? Could you imagine a parent doing that? I tried, but you know, he, she didn't like it, so we just kind of stopped. No, you persist, and you change the different ways that you might approach it and so on. But you're still wanting to get that nourishment into them because you know that it's beneficial to them. And so as Christians, we just keep presenting, we just keep living out the truth of God as He's revealed in His Word. And we try again, we persist, we persevere. Don't give up. Tonight, it's been a difficult message, hasn't it? A heavy tone, but an important one, because here's why. It comes from the Father's heart of God to the people of God, and He loves us. And He desires what is best for us and what is good for us. And just as a parent, many times we need to express with heavy words sometimes what our children refuse to listen to. God does so tonight through His Word to you and I. And again, will we listen? Will we hear? Will we take to heart? Will we obey? Let's pray that God would help us to do that, because it will bring health to us spiritually. Lord, we thank You for Your Word tonight. I do thank You for each of these Your people, that You love us, that you have made us and that you have bought us with Christ's precious blood. And God, as you spoke through Malachi to the people back in his day, you've spoken to us tonight. And the word, just as applicable as it was back then, is applicable to us tonight. We need to listen. We need to hear, to obey. Lord, it will bring health and nourishment to us spiritually. Our souls will benefit from it. And so, God, help us to be obedient to your word. Forgive us of the times when we have refused to listen to you. And we have refused to obey. Lord, help us too in our leadership, in our teaching, in our instruction of your word, in the way that we live and what we say. Oh God, that we would sense the responsibility and the privilege of that. Lord, we pray for this fellowship, this church, that it would spiritually be a place of great health, that we would grow, that we would mature, that we would be nourished in the things of you, that would bring great blessing to our lives and not cursing. This we desire, and God, it is your heart for us, so we pray and thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Have a great week. God bless you all.